Good evening. I was going to stand up and read a poem to see if I could get some cookies, but seeing I just popped the button off my pants a little while ago, I better not. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening and to be here this morning in my house here with the Lord, with my among my brothers and sisters. And after the services, we had a wonderful time at home with family, and that was a joy to me, and as everybody met on this Father's Day, and as we're meeting here tonight in the Lord's house, I know it's pleasing to Him that we've come here to worship Him and to praise His name. And my recent trip out east and south, I felt that the Lord richly blessed me and watched over me as I traveled, and I didn't really have any problems, which was a blessing, with my vehicles. And I was thankful for that. I was thankful for the opportunities that I had to preach along the way to various groups and to their enthusiasm. And one of them was to one person, now that I think about it. Those are a joy also. There are several things I'd like to tell you about and ask for your prayers continually for the group there in Manchester as they meet. I think our brother Charles Brentner was there last week, and there was 21 people there or something. So that group is getting a pretty good size, and they're in need of ministry there, and would appreciate your prayers. That young men there and old men that attend there might be inspired to study the scriptures and to let the Lord use them and direct them in our lives. And over in Cherokee, there's a couple families, some relatives of Brother Gil Brantner that have begun to study, and the Lord is touching their hearts, and especially a son-in-law and daughter. It's actually Alice's daughter. I'd ask that you might remember Bill and Debbie Smith, and they're studying, I know that they know that the Church of Christ is Christ's church, and I just hope that they might continue to be able to study and find their way into the body of Christ, and it would be a blessing for them and for the church. And our little group there in Alabama, it had some hard times, and there was a couple of members that weren't attending, and one is attending again. And they meet every Sunday for a little study in Sunday school, and then listen to a tape, and I've been thankful for that. There's one of the brothers there that I believe is going to be baptized. It's a brother of our member there. I'd appreciate your prayers for him, that the Lord continue to direct him. He knows it's right, and he just needs the strength. His family isn't attending with him, and they're attending one of the other Latter-day Saint churches. But every week he's there at their Sunday school. His name is Otis Dubos, and so I'd appreciate your prayers for him. And over in Cherokee, I told you about a young couple, I think, the last time, or one of the times I was there. It's a young Indian couple, and Russell's 21 years old, his wife is 18. They've been into everything, and the only thing I can say in their lives, she just had her third child. And they have no means of support, nor do they know how to take care of any children. Those kids are on their own. And Russell's an alcoholic. And he asked Gail and I to come over one day, he wanted to talk to us. He wanted us to pray for him. And we asked him, and we said, Russell, when did you start to drink? Were you young? He said, oh, yeah, I was young. Gail said, were you 15 or 16? He said, no, I was younger than that. He said, were you, 10 to 12? He says, no, I was younger than that. My grandfather gave me bottles of beer when I was crawling. He was an alcoholic, probably at 10 years old. going to have any chance. And it's hard on his heart. And he's asked for prayers. And he just doesn't know which way to turn. And he makes a lot of mistakes. You know, he's going to end up going to jail. He drove a car without a license and he's been drinking. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the family. But all you can do is, you know, hold him up in our prayers. His name is Russell Wolf. And he and his family. And there's several families like that that are just striving and they just don't, they don't seem to be able to get ahead. But what they really need to do is turn themselves completely over to Jesus Christ. And they have a hard time doing that. So there's three or four families there that are attending the church or now and then that are just struggling. And I'd appreciate your prayers for them. Our little group down there in Picayune, Mississippi, it's always a joy to be with them because they've got a lot of enthusiasm there. I think they're trying to make a rebel out of me, but I keep on telling them I'm a Yankee. So, but and they're looking ways to outreach in their community, and they're going to run some ads in the paper and to let people in that couple counties there know that there's a Church of the Restoration that's holding cottage meetings. And their priesthood's there once a month, and they meet for studies and watch tapes in hopes that there might be somebody in that area that might have some interest. So you might remember them in Picayune, Mississippi. And they're just a joy to be with. And there's some other family members of John and Peggy Williams. We have three members in Picayune, John and Peggy Williams and Augie. I forget his last name. It starts with a B and it's an Italian name. Lovely man. And strong testimony. And they're just a joy to be with. And I know that that group will surely grow. And John and Peggy, I think, are going to make it up for the Missouri reunion in August. And they're looking forward to that. That'll be a real help for them. My purpose this evening is to attempt to bring words of encouragement and to have us to reflect on our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got several scriptures I'd like to read and just to draw our minds in. And I'm going to kind of skip around, so don't try to necessarily stay up with me. But in the first chapter of Hebrews, it says, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who bring the brightness of his glory in the express image of his person, and uphold all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But I am truly thankful, as I know we all are, that, you know, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. We have the example of his Son as he dwelt here among the children of men and walked and preached and taught and displayed his gospel by his actions. Set the example for us, that we might not have a need to wonder what's required of us, or what the blessings for us are, and what is before us in the future. So we have truly been blessed. If we look down in the last 2,000 years since Christ has come, and we have these wonderful scriptures that have been preserved for us, and here in the last days, this record, as additional testimony of Jesus Christ. It tells us there in the second chapter that we should give a more earnest heed. I'm impressed by some of the, I guess they're adverbs. Give heed, watch, pray always, incline thy ear, listen, seek. Adverbs, things that we're to do, and need for us to be steadfast and immovable. And the Lord has promised us that He'll bless us openly. Promise, therefore, this is in the fourth chapter, let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. A need for us to have faith, besides hearing the word, but to put our belief in the things that we hear, to put them to practice, to exercise our faith and our trust in God. That promise that He's given us, that He'll hold us in the hollow of His hand and pour out His blessing upon us. The need for us to focus in our life on the importance of Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn over to the 62nd Psalm. They moved it on me. It says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowling wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. They shall consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul waiteth thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. A need for us to, remember that God is our salvation and our rock. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock and of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us, surely. A reminder that to focus on that rock of strength. In Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, it talks about that spiritual rock being Jesus Christ. And the need for us to focus on Christ. In Deuteronomy, it talks about the commandments and to keep them as frontlets before us at all times. That we'd have our eyes and our mind and our thoughts focused on God and His commandments in that case, and in the hope that we have in His Son, in Jesus Christ. That we might not be lost. That we might not wander, that we might not be caught up in the things of the world. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, it says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. A call of God to us to come. It says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It takes some action on our part. We can't get it by osmosis. You can't get it to being passive. We have to be active. It says, incline our ear. Seek it. Listen to that still small voice. Search it out in our lives. read the things in the Scriptures and pray and get an understanding from God. He's promised that if we seek and we ask, we shall receive. And He calls us. Behold, I have given for Him a witness, Him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee run into thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him, while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let his return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. A promise that if we repent, if we turn from our own thoughts or from our wickedness, He'll receive us, and He'll forgive us of our sins. They will be pardoned. It says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, what He says is going to happen. If He gives a promise, it'll become true. If He gives a woe, it'll become true. You know, all the things that He has said are going to come back and to be accomplished, fulfilled. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Think about that. You know, what a marvelous thing that will be to be present at that time. Where even the hills and the mountains and the trees are rejoicing. And I don't know, you can almost feel it, the excitement of the things that will be happening, and the joy and the peace that will be present. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall be not cut off. It tells us first to incline our ear and come unto me. A need for us to be in tune and to seek the Lord in our life. And His arms are extended at all times for us. We have the experience written in the Book of Mormon as Christ came here and after His resurrection and met with the children of men here on this continent. In page 632 in the Book of Mormon, chapter 5 of 3rd Nephi. I'm going to pick it up there in the 8th verse. And it saith unto them, Behold my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name. Hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of it. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them, and the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spoke unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. I was drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should shew himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise, and come forth unto me, that you may thrust your hands into my side, and that you may also, you may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that you may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. And it came to pass, the multitude went forth, and thrust their hands into his side, and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet. And as they did go, and as they did do, going forth one by one, until they had all gone forth, and did see with their eyes, and did feel with their hands, and did know of a surety, and did bear record that it was he of whom it was written by the prophet should come. And it came to pass that when they had all gone forth and had witnessed for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna! Blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they did fall down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. Can you imagine that experience, of being there in his presence? And seeing the him in the flesh, having him talk to you one-to-one. But we have it written in the scriptures for us this day, and we have to accept those things on faith that he came. And we know, you know, we've got the different testimonies of it. And we have the same promises that they have. He placed in here. The next 20 verses talks about his doctrine. It's the same for them that day as it is for us. Repent and be baptized and come unto me and endure to the end. This is my doctrine. And there is no other doctrine, as it says. And it goes on and it says, And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto me, and the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I'm down in the 39th verse. And again I say unto you, must repent and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, you can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, and you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Therefore go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. Again, he had said here that this is his doctrine. And we are to build upon that rock and that salvation, Jesus Christ. And the need for us to continue today to preach that there is a need to come, to repent, to be baptized, to endure. And anything less than that is not the gospel of Christ. And we go and out in the world today and we see many gospels being preached. And it says it here that they cometh of evil. That's a hard nut sometimes to think about. You know, that we look at others preaching and their beliefs and the scriptures are saying that, you know, if they aren't teaching the plain simple truths of the gospel, they're of the evil source, I guess. The same cometh of evil, it says there in the 42nd verse. And we don't understand all that. We sometimes wonder, and I do, But I know that with the restoration of the gospel, I know that young man came, and Joseph Smith, and didn't know which one to join, and you know, went into the woods and prayed. And he was told to join none of them, for their creeds were of men. They weren't of God. And so our need is to make sure that we stay focused, that we stay on that track, that we remember that and keep our priorities, that we not be lost, that the seed that is sown among us, as it is in the parable there in the 8th chapter of Luke, that it falls upon the good ground, that we receive it openly and nourish it, feed it, that it may grow within us, and that our seed doesn't fall, you know, our ground isn't barren or isn't upon the rocks and the thorns and whatever, choke it out into the cares of the world. And that's a concern, or should be a concern of all of us, that the seed that has been sown within us and the desire in our heart not be lost and not be choked up with the cares of the world that abounds around us. That we aren't seeking the riches of men, but that we're seeking those things that are pleasing to God. I've got a little story here I'd like to read. I wanted to do this as a little visual, but I couldn't come up with all the things. It says, one day an expert in time management was speaking to a group of business students, and to drive home a point, he used an illustration those students will never forget. As he stood in front of the group of high-powered overachievers, he said, okay, time for a quiz. And he pulled out a 1-gallon wide-mouth mason jar and set it on the table in front of him. He also produced about a dozen fist-sized rocks and carefully placed them one at a time into the jar. When the jar was filled to the top and no more rocks would fit inside, he asked, is the jar full? Everyone in the class yelled yes. He put those rocks right up to the top of it. The time management expert said, really? He reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel. He dumped some gravel in and shook the jar, causing pieces of gravel to work themselves down into the spaces between the big rocks. He then asked the group once more, is the jar full? By this time, the class was on to him. Probably not, one of them answered. Good, he replied. He reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand. He started dumping the sand into the jar, and it went all into the little spaces left between the rocks and the gravel. Once more, he asked the question, is the jar full? No, the class shouted. Once again, he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water and began to pour it into the jar until the jar was filled to the brim. Then he looked at the class and said, what is the point of this illustration? And I'm going to ask you, what's the point of that illustration? What do you think the point that person was trying to make out? Any of you in the back there? Put all those different things in. Had the, you know, gravel and the sand. Do you have any idea what the point of that illustration was? What was he trying to, there's a time management class. What was he trying to teach them? Boy. One eager beaver, we don't have any eager beavers, raised his hand and said, the point is, no matter how full your schedule is, if you try really hard, you can always fit some more things into it. How about that, huh? What do you think the answer was? The instructor said, no. That's not the point. The truth of this illustrate teaches is that if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. What are the big rocks in your life? And that's the point I want to bring out tonight. What are our big rocks? And they have to get into our priorities first. And the rock that needs to be first in our life is Jesus Christ. And we have to put Him in our container of time first and let the other things filter around it. If we try to do it later, we don't have any time. You could not take all those things back out of the jar and keep one of those big rocks out last and get it into that jar. You can't push the rest of the stuff out of the way. It won't work. We've got to make sure our rocks, the important things, Jesus Christ and our families are the most important things, and absorb our time and our effort, and the rest of them work, care for themselves. Think about it. Think about what it says there in the 6th chapter of Matthew, about the cares of... verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, for they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what you shall eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do this Gentile seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. To seek ye first the kingdom of God, to make sure that that rock of Jesus Christ is given the ample time in our vessel of time in our lives. We had a discussion down there in Picayune of the different things we should be doing, and how you get caught up, there just isn't time. And the sister there reminded me of a saying that I told her I used to tell the people at work when they complained they didn't have the time to get something done. And what I had said was, you have all the time that there is. We have all the time that there is. We've got to set our priorities right. We've got to make sure that the important things are being accomplished and they're not lost. They're not in the overflow, but that we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Hymn number 318. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And that's where we have to be. That has to be our life. That has to be our thoughts and our complete submission. You know, hope on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we have to cast off the cares that we have of this world. We have to cast off the worries, the trials, and afflictions and get above them. Let Him reign higher than the birds, higher than the trees. You know, but He already blesses them as an example to us. And so we have to look forward with encouragement of His promises. We have to fortify ourselves with those promises and examples that we have after time and time again of those that have yielded and submitted, and that He had not forsaken them and lifted them up. In our own experiences, our own witnesses that we have of miracles. I want to testify of a miracle that I experienced in Alabama. Our brother down there was tested 2 weeks ago, or now it's 4 weeks ago, I guess, but you know, several weeks before. Archie's got Parkinson's disease. He's in fairly bad shape. But his strength has been zapped from him, and they were worried that there was something else was wrong. So he went up to the Veterans Hospital and was examined, and they saw a growth within his colon, at the edge of his colon. And he was really worried about that. And he's got a lot of faith. And he was waiting, and he wanted to be administered to. And I administered to him. And he went to the hospital the next day, and they were going to do surgery to remove that growth. And they went in there, and there was nothing there. And I believe that that's a miracle. I believe that the Lord recognize the faith of our brother there in his complete submission to His will. And I'm thankful. I am truly thankful that for that experience and the knowledge that, you know, He gives us, that He blesses us, that His promises are sure and true, that if we come before His throne in faith believing, that He knows our very needs. And He always does the best thing for us. Think about that. Promise, and I'm encouraged, and I'm thankful for that experience, and I hope and pray that we can remember this night of a need to focus ourselves. I had some more scriptures reading here, but I'm not going to read them. I want us to remember that little example. Because I know what my answer was, and I was going through it. Oh yeah, you put the sand in, you know, you always fit something else in. You know, I was dead wrong until I got down there. And it's just a good lesson of what our important things, the things that are important to our soul salvation, the things that are important to our family's soul salvation, have to be put in first. They have to be given priority, or there will never be room for them. And if we do that, we will be blessed. We will have accomplished what the Lord has set before us. We will be able to endure. He will strengthen us. He will watch over us and lift us up and protect us and guide us and direct us, provide for our needs and the needs of our families. For that is His promise. So I hope that we can remember those things in the upcoming days and put them to practice in our life. Thank you.